Hi everybody, the Complex PTSD Guy here. I'll start out by saying I'm not a doctor or psychiatrist. I'm just a guy living with complex PTSD, and I'm sharing my own ideas, experiences, and opinions on this podcast. I wanted to share something interesting that relates very uniquely to complex PTSD and issues with long-term memory. So I used to talk about this a lot, long-term memory and short-term memory, and how because of our physical brains and the way trauma and stress impacts our brain, a lot of that can impact our ability to store information long term. And I think this is why a lot of us might have trouble in school with focus, and it can be misdiagnosed as different things, you know, ADD or something. But it's really stress. It's just impacting us. And I was reading a book that had nothing to do with complex PTSD or PTSD, by the way. I was reading a book called When We Are No More, How Digital Memory is Shaping Our Future. And this book is by Abby Smith Rumsey. She's a historian. And the reason I wanted to bring up something she brought up in this book, so this book popped up for me as part of my cure for boredom. So I told you guys I read books in the library from shelf to shelf, starting in nonfiction. So starting in the first shelf of nonfiction and just going shelf by shelf, 3 to 5 books per shelf, and just seeing what I can learn, right? I'm not going to books that interest me. I'm going shelf by shelf just to see what I learn. Because I think if you were to go to whatever might interest you, ironically, I think that you would get bored with that. Like, you might read about cooking, and then you'd be like, okay, I've read all I can about cooking, I'm bored. And then you just don't want to go to the library and read anymore. But if you go shelf by shelf just to see what you can learn, you don't get bored with it. At least I don't. And I think it's a cure for boredom, which I've said before. So this was a book that popped up. And so right now I'm in books that are all about the history of books and the history of reading and the history of libraries. So she wrote a book about how digital memory is shaping our future, meaning if everything is digitized and everything is collected in little microchips, and someday, you know, maybe things get hacked or things aren't able to be deciphered, or, you know, in the future, maybe if there's like a war or something, and then all, you know, everything is destroyed, meaning technology-wise, which it's so much easier to destroy things through technology than it is to just go to a building and burn books, right? If everything is digital, you know, what types of like algorithms are going to decide what you see in the future, rather than just going to a library and having a huge amount of variety and, you know, and then just finding what you want? I almost relate this a little bit to like, and I'll get to my point here, but I almost relate it to like video stores. Do you remember going to get DVDs at a video store back in the day? You had a huge variety of options. Whereas now, like on your TV, it'll say, here's movies based on your interest, or here's movies based on what you viewed last. That's not what I want to see. I want to see a variety, right? So this is, you know, kind of relating to what she's talking about here. But in regards to complex PTSD and memory, she wrote something very interesting, and she compared a situation to the movie Groundhog Day, where everything just happens over and over and over again, and there's never a solution throughout most of the movie. There's just never a solution. It's almost like everything's just repeating. That's a lot like what complex PTSD and stress is like. Every day, it's like you're just back in stress and you can't solve the problem, right? You can't figure it out. Like, how do I overcome the stress? And I feel like in a lot of ways, I have been able to build resilience recently to that. And I've talked about the confidence building is a big part of that. But this, I wanted to just point out, reminded me so much, what I'm going to read here, it reminded me so much of memory in regards to complex PTSD. So she said, she talked about how memory breaks down, and it said, if everything is just sort of, if things aren't stored for the long term to where we can go back and retrieve them, and, you know, we're learning about history and the world and all these different things, if nothing is ever stored in a long-term way, she said, we are not able to make sense of the world. So, like, if we're not able to kind of look back at history and piece things together, so, like, if all of our information is, you know, digitized to where it could be easily destroyed in some way, or forgotten, so, you know, it's like, it's almost like, what was it? Like, what was history? If everything is just constantly in the here and now, which a lot of, like, our social media and our technology is like that, everything's just boom, 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 and nothing is actually, like, learning a lesson or looking at logical, you know, deductive reasoning and facts. Everything's just emotional, 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 sensational, sensational. It's sort of like we can't figure things out. We can't make sense of the world. And she also said, without things being long term, we cannot learn memory. Without long term, we cannot learn. And memory, we would be stuck in the present. So without long term memory, we would be stuck in the present. It was what she's saying, and we cannot really learn anything. And so I just thought that related so well to complex PTSD, because without getting information into our long-term memory, you don't learn anything. And so if you're highly stressed out, and I might be not quoting her book the best here. I didn't write down the entire paragraph that she wrote. I just wrote down points from it. But basically her point was, we have to be able to store our information differently in the digital world. Like, we don't want everything to be easily destroyed or easily rewritten or forgotten. And that's very much what I do. I work in an archive in the history world, and I store information so I can go back and look at it. And if that was literally all just digitized to where it could all be wiped away by, like, a hacker or something, or if you didn't have a thumb drive to store, or whatever, if you don't have virus protection, all that, and it just gets wiped away, it'd be like, well, what was everything? It's like, where did the history go? And so she's pointing out the importance of, like, a physical library, if I'm not mistaken here. A physical library is just so important. And I remember when I was in college studying history, I worked in the library. I worked in the library as a student. And during that time frame, I just happened to be there when they were restyling the library. And the guy who was running it, he was like, this whole floor is no longer going to be books. And we're going to do all this stuff, modern and technology and blah, 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 blah. The top floor was still going to have books, and the bottom floor was going to become the school archives, and the bottom floor would still have books too. But basically that whole main floor of books, they just, like, got rid of them. I don't even think they sold them. I think a lot of them they just got rid of. And I remember thinking, if you get rid of a physical library, you know, not everybody in the public knows how to work a computer. Not everybody in the public is tech savvy. Not everybody in the public learns that way. And I can't imagine, and I've been critiqued on this before, where a lot of people will say, well, kids nowadays grew up with laptops, or they grew up with, and not just laptops, but, like, iPads. And they do a lot of stuff in grade schools electronically, like through tech. And we had computers and laptops when I was in high school, but we still use books. We primarily use books for our subjects. And I don't know that a lot of kids still do that. And I really can't imagine having to always use, like, an iPad. I don't know that I would, it wouldn't be the same type of learning, in my opinion, because I'm a book person. I like books. physical books. I don't read from an iPad. But her point is, with the way things kind of are today, especially with our cell phones and media and everything, a lot of things are just so fast paced, and it's like, it's almost like we can't keep up, and you know, what's real versus what's false. And in a lot of ways, the key difference is that these things are in our hands all the time. These cell phones, is what the difference is. Having these things right in the palm of our hands, and everybody jumping down rabbit holes all the time about everything, from politics to celebrity to true crime to so much stuff. It's just jumping down rabbit holes. And I just think a lot more groupthink, personally. And a lot of that is just influenced by social media. That's why I'm not on a lot of social media. But I thought it was a very, it was an interesting way of saying it. The fact that she pointed out how they studied how memory breaks down. And without long-term memory, we would be stuck in the present. That's so true. We would be stuck in the present. It would be like Groundhog Day. And that's very much how complex PTSD is. Whenever you're living with an abusive person who has traumatized you long-term, it's almost like that constant stress. You're in survival mode. And so all you're thinking of is what's coming next. How do I fight it? How do I solve it? What'll be my comeback? How do I avoid it? And nothing is ever about like your future. Like nothing is ever looking long-term at good things for you. It's always just how do I combat this? It was just a similarity that I noticed. So I just wanted to kind of point it out that sometimes when I'm doing this cure for boredom thing, I come across books, and this is the whole point of why I'm doing this. I come across books that relate to other things that I'm not expecting them to even relate to. And this is an example. And by the way, I was going to mention, I told you guys that with that confidence building stuff I've been doing, it's just made me feel different about how I approach people. And it's made me feel different about everything. And I actually did reach out to somebody and ask them if they wanted to golf, go play golf. And they had recommended miniature golf because they like that. And so we're going to go to a place where there's miniature golf, but there's also a golf range, and we're going to do both because I would just like to practice like my swing and everything. So if we ever do go to, you know, a real legit like golf course, like a typical golf course, or if I go with somebody else to a typical golf course, because maybe they don't want to do that. It's just nice to be able to do a little bit of practice and something fun. And this is something that I think when I was really doing a lot of things out of low self-esteem, this wouldn't have even been something I would even think to do. And I'm telling you, like my mindset is just, it's just different to even think to just go do something like a fun kind of a hobby and just do it for fun and just be happy. It's very different. And I'm going to do a podcast pretty soon. I might even do it tonight about what somebody looks like when they're operating out of insecurity. Because I've seen this happening a lot, and it's probably something that's been going on throughout all of world history with people. But particularly, I want to talk about when somebody engages in hobbies because they're trying to look a certain way versus because they actually want to have fun and enjoy them. And I'm going to point out some very key characteristics of how you can kind of see that someone's putting on airs. And in a way, it's almost like someone's being a fraud. They're almost being a fraud to themselves and to everybody else. And I think it's rooted in insecurity. So I'm going to talk about that on my next episode. This is the Complex PTSD Guy signing off.